Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you. If it's top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and the phone lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. Come on inside the studio and speak directly with us if you have a question or some life issue you'd like to discuss. Well, give us a call right now. Do it quickly, 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it right now because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Before we get into the content of the program, two program notes. Tuesday and Wednesday, we're having a very special guest with us, Dr. John Lennox, who is a professor emeritus of mathematics at Oxford University in England. He is just one of the staunchest defenders of the gospel, has one of the clearest, strongest voices on the planet. Most people know him from his public debates with the likes of Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens. Mm-hmm. And boy, he just brings the gospel message in such a powerful and clear and persuasive way. He's a man of courage. Boy, he has been in the world of academia, and he has had all kinds of external pressures on him to give up his Christianity, to give up his biblical beliefs, and he has withstood everyone and has said with such clarity, with such conviction, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus died, that Jesus was buried, and that he was raised again, so that we could have forgiveness and new life in him. So don't miss tomorrow and Wednesday. You are going to be blessed out of your socks doing the interview with him. I was blessed out of my socks.
Yeah,
so,
I bet you were.
So don't miss this. We're going to offer his book, Can Science Explain Everything, on those two programs. So join us tomorrow and Wednesday for a special interview with Dr. John Lennox.
I know, having heard his debate with Richard Dawkins just recently, his first debate, I am super excited about this, and I just want our listeners to know this is something really, really great that's going to happen right here on Basic Gospel tomorrow and Wednesday. So we invite you to be here. Invite your friends. Just let everybody know. It's going to be a special, special time.
Absolutely. The other thing that I want to make mention of is our latest YouTube video that we uploaded last week. It answers the question, what is the gospel? There is so much confusion out there about the simplistic gospel. People just don't know what it is. You ask 100 different people that question, what is the gospel, you're probably going to get at least 50 different answers.
Yeah.
And most of it is going to be man-centered. This is what we need to do for God. We need to clean up our act. We need to go to church more. We need to do this. We need to do that. Well, none of that's the gospel message. The gospel message is good news. And it's good news that is all wrapped up in the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. Those are the elements of this good news story. And so we talk about that. We answer that particular question on our latest YouTube video offering. We want you to go and take a look at that. It is something that you can share with people very easily. I know in your conversations with people within your sphere of influence, this question is going to get raised. Mm-hmm. What is the gospel? Well, here's a very clear explanation that you can share with your friends, and it can keep the conversation going. So take advantage of that.
Yeah, be sure to subscribe to the Basic Gospel channel right there on YouTube, and take advantage of these videos. Bob takes a lot of time putting them together, and they're very insightful. We want you to benefit from them. So that's, of course, on our YouTube video channel. And what is the gospel? A great question, Bob.
Yes, indeed. And one of the benefits of the gospel is this, and it's something that we talk about time and time again on Basic Gospel, and it's the fact that we can rest. You know, when God created Adam and Eve, he prepared a garden for them, and that was on the sixth day, and then on the seventh day, God rested. So when you look at that together, you realize that the very first thing that man did, as far as their relationship with God was concerned, was to rest with him. and to enjoy that relationship. So our relationship with God started from a place of rest. Sin entered the picture, and man became restless. And we've been trying to solve that problem of restlessness in every way that you can imagine. And I think Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. And that's what the gospel message offers, is spiritual rest. And that's what we experience when we receive the good news. We're resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So God created for 6 days, then he rested. Jesus did his work on the cross. Once he finished, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. He rested. And what does he want us to do? He wants us to rest from our works just as he rested from his. And that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 4 of his letter. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would have not spoken of another day later on. So Moses led them out of Egypt. Joshua led them into the promised land. That was supposed to be a place of rest, but it didn't work out that way. Why? Because that was a picture of something that you and I could experience through faith in Jesus Christ. So he says, then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Now, what is that? For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. So we can't work to earn God's favor. We're going to have to rest from all that religious nonsense. We're going to have to lay that aside and realize that Christ did the work. And once we realize that Christ did the work, our souls are at rest in him. We are at rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So this gospel message is the death, it's the burial, it's the resurrection, it's the ascension of the Lord Jesus. It's a story all about him, but we are caught up into that story through faith in Jesus Christ. And when we are, one of the main benefits that we received is rest for the soul. We no longer have to struggle, try to figure out our standing before God. We can rest in the fact that Jesus Christ took our sins and in exchange gave us his righteousness so that we could rest and enjoy this relationship with God the Father forever.
It's the most exciting message that we could possibly bring to you, friends, and many of you who give to support this message and this ministry month by month have a part in getting it out to those who have yet to hear. We want to say thanks for your donation this month by sending you our 6-CD set from the Simply Gospel Conference. It's called Simply Grace, and Bob, you've stated very clearly that when we speak of grace, we're speaking of Jesus Christ, who is the embodiment of grace, and that's what the conference series Simply Grace is all about, and it's yours when you make your donation this month to Basic Gospel. Please make your gift today at basicgospel.net and help us keep this good news of grace coming on the air and online. Again, just click donate at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we had this question from Lula, who wrote to us from Seattle, Washington. She says, what is backsliding in the New Testament? Can believers backslide? If a believer backslides for 20 years or more, were they ever saved? Thank you so much. I fell in love with Jesus listening to your program, and that is an encouragement.
That is an encouragement. And Lula, thanks so much for writing to us. You only see the word backsliding in the Old Testament. You don't see it in the New Testament. Right. And I think there's a reason for that, and the reason is simply this. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, something happens to us that didn't happen to those in the Old Testament. So they were committed to a standard of righteousness that they were trying to uphold. Mm-hmm. That standard of righteousness began with the commandment, have no other gods before you. And they constantly struggled with idolatry. So they would have moments where they were very strong with their connection to the one true God, and then they would look to the east or the west or the north or the south, and they would see the surrounding countries, and they would look at the success, and they would look at all the things that were happening, quote, in a good way, yeah. And their hearts and their eyes started to wonder. And wander, and so they would latch on to those foreign gods, and they would worship. And so that was what backsliding was all about, was sliding away from their faithfulness to God to bowing down and worshiping foreign gods. But in this new covenant, something happens to us inside. Our hearts are made new. And so we go from unbelievers to believers in Christ. And so something in our hearts is keeping us focused on Jesus Christ. Well, it's the Spirit of God. Yeah. The Spirit of God has come to live inside of us. We're in union with the Spirit of God. And so we're going to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to give in to the desires of the flesh here and there. It simply means that God has equipped us as children of God. He has equipped us to live as children of God, and He has placed His Spirit inside of us to empower us to do so. So we might take a wrong turn here or there, but God is going to get us back on the right path. That's what He's committed Himself to do in this new covenant, and He is going to complete the work that He began, and we are going to persevere as saints. So we don't have to worry about that thing of backsliding.
Yeah.
Let's just walk in the Spirit, and if we make a left turn or a right turn, we can trust that God is going to get us back on the right path.
Recalculating.
That's exactly right. That's what He does.
It is Basic Gospel, everybody. We got plenty of open lines. If you would like to come into the studio and speak directly with us, if you're hearing the live broadcast at a little after 10 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, it is the live broadcast, and we want you to come in right now at 844-322-2742. Lines available right now, 844-322-2742. Bob, you had a question from Manuel, I believe.
Well, we did, and this is a really interesting question, and it ties back to what we started the program with about rest. Mm-hmm. So we asked the question, why are the Seventh-day Adventists pushing for the Sabbath day? Well, there's a commandment. It's the fourth commandment, and it says that we are to keep the seventh day holy, or the Sabbath day holy. And there's lots of different rules and regulations as to what that looks like for the nation of Israel. And again, those commandments in that Mosaic covenant was between God and the people of Israel. So Israel had come out of Egypt. They had come out of enslavement, bondage. Mm-hmm. They had been in that for 400 years, and they had pretty much absorbed the customs of the Egyptians.
Right.
So they escape, they cross over the Red Sea on dry land, they get to the other side.
Get to the other side, he said.
Yeah, they got to the other side. They camp at Mount Sinai, and at Mount Sinai, God gives them a covenant that is going to order their freedom as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
So this covenant that he made with the people of Israel was for their benefit.
Yeah.
And it started with, no other gods before him.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted the people to recognize that it was God's strong arm that freed him, and it was going to be God's strong arm that would lead them through the desert into the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
That it was God and God alone that was going to do everything necessary for them as a people. And then he gets down to the fourth commandment, and he says, I want you to honor the Sabbath day. And why did he say that? Well, because that is going to become a picture of what we were going to experience through faith in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So he's pointing us forward to a day when this new covenant was going to be inaugurated. It was going to be ushered in, and that happened at the cross when Jesus shed his blood to put an end to the old and to usher in the new. And in this new, we experience Sabbath rest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just for a day of the week. That's a spiritual state. We rest in the finished work. So that old covenant was pointing forward to a time that we would experience the true Sabbath rest in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now, the Seventh-day Adventists have looked at that and said, we're going to make that our point of righteousness. So we're going to keep that seventh day, And that's going to make us righteous. That's going to set us apart from every other Christian denomination. And so they hold to that. And instead of seeing it as a picture for what we would experience through faith in Jesus Christ, they're looking at it as their means of righteousness.
Right.
And so that's why they push for it. They're not going to let go of something they think that their obedience to is going to make them righteous in the sight of God. So they're missing the point.
Yeah, never can.
That's right. They're missing the point. First, that wasn't a covenant with God and the Seventh-day Adventists. It was a covenant with God and Israel. That covenant was a picture, was a shadow of what we were going to experience in Christ. So they're worshiping a shadow. We can experience the reality through faith in Him, and when we do, we're going to experience the true Sabbath rest, and that is resting in the finished work of Jesus. And when we rest in the finished work of Jesus, we can rest from our own religious works of trying to gain God's righteousness through our obedience to the law.
Yeah. Well, Emmanuel asks a lot of questions, and we're grateful that he does, because he's getting a good education, and I think a lot of people are, through his questions. And so that's the power of your questions, friend. Not only does it minister in your life, but it does in the lives of others as well. So we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 844-322-2742. And you know, basic gospel literally exists in order to minister to the body of Christ. Our purpose is to help our listeners hear, believe, and live this good news of Jesus Christ. That's our mission. It's what God has put us here to do. In fulfilling that, we have to make known the need for support, just as Paul did in his day. So we ask you, our listener friends, to help ensure this message of grace continues to be available to minister in the hearts and lives of people everywhere. Please help us with your gift today if you can by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. The eternal scope of our lives, in the eternal scope of our lives, I think there's probably nothing more important than this message. In fact, I know that's true. And with your help, we'll keep it going. So again, click donate at basicgospel.net, and let's keep it going.
Yes, indeed. And certainly we're in that season of generosity, and boy, a big part of our annual budget comes in during these 2 months, November and December. So we're certainly praying that many of you will step up and help us at this particular time. Mm-hmm. We have a $250,000 target to meet by December 31st. So if you can help, if you want to be a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel, we encourage you to give. Give generously, and if you can, give today.
Yes,
we would love for you to join us today.
Just click donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Parker Heights, Texas, and talk to Maggie. Hi, Maggie.
Hello there. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you, and what's on your mind?
Well, I have two questions. First, thank you so much for your inspiration and also for the education. Even though I'm an older person, I don't think I can ever learn enough about the Bible. And I have two questions, or maybe it's really a two-part question. Now, I know that Ishmael, the son of Abraham, was part Jewish and part Egyptian because of his mother. And I know that the Egyptians and the Arabs were his descendants. But in contemporary discussions, I hear very little about the Hebrew part of these peoples, and also their claim to the land as Hebrews. And also, when did the discord and the fighting, so to speak, between these two groups start? Were they ever on one accord because of the Hebrew bloodline?
Well, Maggie, that's a
my question.
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think we see, the conflict between the different people groups in that land, that area. Way back. I mean, you look at Moses and leading the people out of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, 40 years of wandering in the desert, and then they go into the Promised Land. And, you know, they're immediately having a battle at Jericho. They're having another battle, and it was just constant conflict there. And different people have always tried to make claim to that particular land, but God set it aside for the people of Israel. And there is a specific amount of geography that he set aside there. Now, you know, in like 500 BC, 600 BC, something like that, the Babylonians came along. They destroyed Israel. They captured a lot of the Jewish people. They took them to Babylon. That's where we get the story of Daniel, for example. Then the Babylonian Empire ended. You had the Medes and the Persians, and then you had the Greek Empire, and then you had the Roman Empire. And all of those empires wanted that little strip of land called Israel that we would know of as Israel, because that little strip of land connected the three major continents. It connected Europe, it connected Africa, and it connected Asia. So you control that little strip of land, you're going to control the world. And so one of the strategies for every single empire back in those days was to conquer Israel. So that land has always been coveted by every single empire. Then when Rome came along, they took over the whole world, and of course Israel was a big piece of that. And you know, after the Roman Empire kind of fell and different people came through there, that land that we know of as Israel today was just kind of a barren wasteland. There was never a sovereign country, overseeing that particular land. It was always controlled by another empire, the latest being the British. They were in control of it. And then they had the declaration, the Balfour Declaration, and then in 1948, Israel became an independent country for the first time in forever, it seems. And so with that, that drew a lot of attention from the Arab neighbors, and there's been conflict that has really been intense ever since then. But for 2,000 years, nobody really cared much about that land. It's really just recently intensified with the birth of Israel as an independent sovereign nation in that area. So that's kind of a little bit of the history. That's why there's a conflict, and it's going to be a conflict, I think, that will go on until the Lord comes back and brings peace to us all. Now, that's available to us now, but it's only available to us through faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? When we have faith in Jesus Christ, then Jews and Gentiles, Jews and Arabs, Jews and Samaritans, whoever it might be, we can all stand together as one in Jesus. Well, Maggie, hope that helps. We're out of time for the broadcast today, and sure appreciate that you're continuing to learn and grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus.
Yes, indeed. And Bob, I want you to take the rest of the time, leave me about 10 seconds to say goodbye at the end, but talk about programming tomorrow and Wednesday.
John Lennox, Dr. John Lennox, he is the Emeritus Professor of Mathematics at Oxford University. He holds several other titles. He's debated all kinds of atheists.
Yeah,
he
Dawkins
is one of the most courageous, most clear communicators on the planet today. You're going to love this interview. Tune in tomorrow and Wednesday. It's a two-part interview. You will be blessed. We're going to offer one of his books. It is called Can Science Explain Everything? But be sure and be with us tomorrow and Wednesday.
And tell your family and friends to be with us as well. So until then, for Bob Christopher, for all of us here at Basic Gospel, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow for John Lennox. Bye-bye.